Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, We Are Chosen by God. Chosen by God. And we're going to see in this message this morning that a child of God that's chosen before the foundation of the world, the Bible says he already knew us. But we're going to see through Scripture, we're going to see through trials and tribulations that Jesus talked about what would take place with a true child of God that's born again, that's his. If you thought getting saved would be a rose garden, think again. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. But we're going to see in three different categories of what takes place with a born-again believer. And I love the end, because we serve a mighty God, a triumphant King. Can I get amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 15. And we're going to start with verses 14 through 19. And let's read the Word of God. Here we go. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I made known unto you. Verse 16. You did not choose me. Say that with me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, let me just pause right here for a moment. When it says, love one another. What he told his disciples is to love one another as believers. Because sometimes the world won't receive your love. Unbelievers won't receive your love. Matter of fact, they don't even know the love of God, because it's clear in Scripture, believers are sheep and unbelievers are goats. And goats cannot comprehend the love of God. But he was teaching his disciples to love one another, because you're going to need his love when he is gone to be with his Father. You got to learn how to love one another. The body of Christ needs to learn to love one another. Can I get amen? Okay, let's move on. Look at this. If the world hates you, you knew that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Notice he's making a distinction between the world. Look at this. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Are you catching this? He's making a distinction with humanity. There are believers, the sheep of God, the children of God, of the Most High, and then there is the children of who? Of whom? What is an unbeliever's father? Oh, come on, that's right. Old Slewfoot. Can't be both. You're either walking in light or you're in darkness. Can I get amen? Amen? And so, the born again, true believers of God, of the Most High, will, hear me clearly, will experience trials, tribulations, and persecutions. And Jesus said it best, Let's go right up here, what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have what? Overcome the world. So he's telling us already, we're going to experience a type of tribulation in this world. But Paul knew it best as well. God gave him a revelation like no other apostle. He wrote the majority of the epistles in the New Testament. And so when we go to Romans, let's go to Romans 5. Look what he wrote there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You and I stand in the grace of God and rejoice in the hope of glory. And not only that, but we also glory. What? In what? How do you glory in tribulations? Well, we're going to see this. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You see, this is called the school of hard knocks. We're going to go through some trials and tribulations in our life, but that's not the end game. It's God's process for the believer. And we must know that once we start the journey with him, it's going to be tough. But you know what I love about going through even trials and tribulations? That he's with me. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will strengthen you for the moment. He will empower you. He will never leave you. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And so tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Sister Carla testified. The Holy Ghost was poured out and gave a renewed hope. And that's what we need sometimes, a touch from God, that God would give us a renewed hope. That this Christian life should never be drudgery. It should never be dun, 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 dun. There should be joy and excitement knowing that God has given us another day. And when we look through the lens of Scripture, saints, to see what happens to God's chosen people as they grow and mature in Christ. So there's a process. We go from a little child to an adolescent, to a young adult, and then God starts maturing us in the Word. Praise God. You see, when God chooses you and I, he charts out the plan for each and every one of our lives. And you and I, saints of God, can expect trials. But then there's transformation, and ultimately there will be triumph. Praise God. Praise God. Did you know that there's a plan already instilled in us? Before we were even thrust out of our mother's womb, God already made a plan. Oh, look at this. Right here in Jeremiah 29:10. Look at this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so in this morning's message, saints, we're going to look at three topics, three types of positions that we take during this growing process of sanctification. Sanctification. Remember, sanctification. And what are they? Trials, transformation, and then triumph. Praise God. But trials have to come first. They come first. I remember when I first got saved. Oh, I must have went through trials you could not even comprehend. Especially all my old drug friends. They wanted to kill me because I wasn't supplying them anymore. They mocked me. They ridiculed me. They wanted to do harm to me. And God was my protector. Amen. There was an old Dominican, big drug dealer at the time in San Diego. He would front me the drugs. And when I got saved, I flushed everything down the toilet. And he would call me, A-Z. He wouldn't say fiend. A-Z, you got my money? I said, God, I don't want this life no more. You saved me. I don't want to deal with this guy no more. I don't know what to do, God. And I just stayed praying and fasting. I never heard from that guy again. One of several things happened to him. Either God just literally took him out, or God saved him, or God kicked him out of our country. One of three things, because I never heard from him again. And I owed him at least 40 grand. You don't forget that kind of money. Not in that world. They'll shoot you for $10. So, trials will happen immediately to a brand new child of God. And that's a time of testing. You have to understand, it's God testing you. He wants you to reassure in yourself that he's with you, that he will bless you, that he will take care and fight your battle. We want to fight the battles on our own, but the Bible tells me the battles belong to the Lord. And so, God gave revelation to James. He said it this, as we go, number one, through the first phase in our life, trials. And then James says this, my brethren, count it all joy. What? When you fall into various trials. Joy? I was trembling. And then the joy came. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if we do lack, the Bible's clear. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. We need to ask God by faith. God, this is what I need. God, I need to hear from you. Oh God, lead me, guide me. Oh God, help me. Look at this. It's all by faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, because he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Those are the ones that just don't get it. You'll find them. They always come to the altar. Always come to the altar. They never understand. God has given them a solution. Now walk in it. He wants to free you. Look at this. In 1 Peter, look at this. It says this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Man, I could be here all day telling you the trials. Before I became a pastor and pastor of church, man, trials. And they kept coming in numbers. How many of you have gone through trials as a believer? Oh, come on, I think everyone in here, right? Look at this. By various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. That's how God looks at your faith. It's above gold. I saw on the news a senator had a whole bunch of bars of gold. Senator Menendez. Did you catch that on the news? Yeah, he had a whole bunch of bars of gold. Man, he was trying to find, he was Google searching, how much can I get for a bar of gold? Well, guess what? God says your faith is above gold. And gold is a precious metal down here. Being much more precious than gold that perishes. So that bar of gold will perish in the fire. Though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. This is why I'm always saying, hang on, don't let go. Don't throw in the towel. Keep looking up. Why? For our redemption draws near. He's soon to come. Praise God, praise God. Now, we find another type of trial in the book of Acts. Let's look at this. In Acts 20, look at this. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. He celebrated all the feasts. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. Look at this. Serving the Lord with all humility and with many what? Tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, his own people. They all turned on him. And let me just say this. When you become a born-again child of God, your own family will turn on you. Happen. They'll turn on you. Look at this. How I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Praise God. That was the home church. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He was all about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Praise God. And so, saints, here's just a small glimpse. We're just going to look at a small glimpse of what he had to endure as a brand new believer. You got to remember, God saved him. He was on his way to Damascus to kill all the Christians. He was Saul of Tarsus. He hated the children of God. Satan raised him up, but God said, I'm going to use this man. And so when he became a born-again believer, man, did he go through trials. Listen, we may go through some persecution here and trials, but not like what he went through. We couldn't compare our life to what he went through. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Those are beatings. In prisons more frequently. I don't know how many prisons he had to get incarcerated in. In deaths often, he saw many people die. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. These are beatings. Look at this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And it was not from a hookah. Well, you guys, yeah, that went right over your head, huh? He wasn't stoned like that. He was rocked almost to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils at the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. Wow. There was false brethren among him. Hey, what's up, brother so-and-so? And yet they hated his guts. Wow. Look at this. In verse 20, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness, besides the other thing that comes upon me daily. But look at this, through it all, through all what he had to go through, look what he had in his mind the whole time. my deep concern for all the churches. His concern was for the believers. He knew that once God changed him and was transforming him, his life was never his own. And we have to come to a place in our life that our life is not our own anymore. It belongs to him. And so, saints, trials will equip you and I for the greater plan that Jesus has for you and I. Trials are God's classrooms. You may have not completed your senior year, but when you got saved, he put you back in class. Can I get an amen? We went back to class. Oh, that's right. Trials are God's classrooms. It's where we watch God help us solve our problems, the problems of life. So, once we're experiencing these trials, the next phase that takes place in our life is transformation. Transformation. Things start to change. And they change for the good. So after we experience trials and tribulations in our lives, we start to be transformed by God himself. God illuminates our minds and gives us wisdom and understanding through God's word. It's the word that transforms us. Can I get amen? Look what 1 Peter or 2 Peter, when I was going through this study, God was pointing me to these epistles to find what God was showing me this week. Look what it says here. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Look at this in verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. In other words, there's people that will come and twist it all up. But look at this in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. There's some false people out there, false doctrines, false prophets, false apostles, false this and false that. They will not be in the word of God. They'll just speak, that's it. And you're trying to, what is that saying? You got to confirm it with the word. Now look at this. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and now forever. Grow. How do we grow? We go through the trials we go through, and we grow by being in the word, knowing what God has said about us. Oh, that's right. Because a transformation needs to take place now. We can't stay little Christians on milk. Can I get an amen? This beautiful little child one day will not be drinking the bottle no more. They'll be having solid food only. And then as she gets older, is she going to want some steak? Come on. So Paul understood, and he stated in Romans, look at this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. This is where you put your heart in check. Am I living right before him? Have I made decisions right before him? Am I allowing him to lead me, or am I leading myself? And this is what he says. Look, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And that's through the scriptures. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we ever going to transform? Because if we do not allow the word of God and the power of God to transform us, we will be spiritual pygmies. You know what a pygmy is? It's like a little dwarf. And we never grow, we never learn. We didn't take that experience that God allowed us to go through, and we didn't learn from it. And guess what? We do the same thing all over again. It's ring around the rosies. And so there has to be a transformation in our lives. And so look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. Look at this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Are we looking to the Lord? Is God leading us? Is he our shepherd? Are we looking to the heavens? Are we looking at earth where sometimes we don't find what we're looking for? You shared it best. Heaven opened up its doors when you sought him. It wasn't all these outreaches. It wasn't all these other things. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And so look at this. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. How many can't wait for that moment? Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth. And what are we to put away? Fornication. That's one thing that God deals with heavy throughout the epistles, is sexual immorality. Sleeping with folks that are not your husband or your wife. You're sleeping around. Look at this. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, meaning having a greedy heart, which is idolatry. Because of these things, look at this, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. What? God's wrath will come. You know what? We think we get away with things, and we don't. Because things sometimes are suddenly. And God will send his word, and suddenly something happens very atrociously. And we can't blame nobody but ourselves. That's that old saying, I did it to myself. And that's what happens. He sends the wrath. The wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you live in them. So what God is saying, transform your mind now. Don't walk like the heathens. Don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the unbelievers. Now walk in a spirit of meekness and holiness. Keep your heart pure before God. Keep it holy. And when you start thinking of things that are not of God, say, God, take this thought from me. Help me, God. Listen, our vessels are weak. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we become strong. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 8, look at this. He wrote this. But now you yourselves, this is the transformation that he expects now as a believer. Now you yourselves are to put off all these. What are we to put off? Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put on the old man with these deeds. Look at you. Look, we've got the new man now. We don't need to wallow in the mire anymore. And have put on the new man who is renewed. That's the transformation. We are to be renewed now in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so, saints, the true and real transformation that takes place when we yield our members to God is yes and amen. A life that is walking uprightly before him. And that's why Paul said it best. in Romans, he said, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be indeed, what? Indeed, look, reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin. And there's some people that don't get that. They still have a Burger King life. They just want to have it their way. Look at this. But live to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust. Sometimes lust is so powerful that even our thought life becomes tainted. For us men, we don't even have to enter into uncharted waters like someone else's bedroom. We could paint them naked in our own mind. And Jesus said, when you think of that, you've already committed adultery. Our own mind. This is why we have to be transformed by the power of God and through the Word of God to transform us. My goodness. And not obey in its lust. It's very lustful. Look at this. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's every part of our body, every instrument, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our nose, our hands, our feet, our privates, everything. Every member of your body, you give it to God and live righteous before Him. Can I get amen? Look at this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under God's grace. And we are not to take grace for granted. Can I get amen? So now, there's trials. There's transformation. And now, we go into triumph. Why? Because there's a process with God. And when we go through this process with Him, ultimately, in the end game, there's victory and triumph. And once we experience our trials, we begin to be transformed by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We begin a life of triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. How many wants to live a triumphant life? Come on. That's what we want. Why? Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're walking in His ways, we're dying to sin, we're living for God, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We're learning to love one another. We're learning to forgive one another. We're learning to walk the way Jesus portrayed to all mankind how to walk. Then we have to ask ourselves this: who can separate us from the love of God? If we are walking in that stature, if we have chosen to walk that way, then who can separate us from the love of God? Well, Paul wrote it best in Romans 8:35. Look at this. Who? Say that with me. Who? That's all of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We just talked about tribulation. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are all killed all day long. And when I looked in the Greek, it's not that we're dying. We're dying to self all day long. We're saying, God, change me, transform me. I don't want to do the old thing that I used to do. I want to die to that. We're dying all day long. Why? Because God is doing something beautiful in our life. Amen. And we don't want to mess that up. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. He says this, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, that's right. You know who's studying our life too? Not just because the power of the Holy Spirit with us and Christ is King, but who else is looking at your life? Oh, Slewfoot. And his plan is to try to trip you up and take you off course. He wants to put darkness into your life. He wants to oppress you. He wants to cause havoc in your life, to take your focus off of Christ. And once he's done that, he's done what he's supposed to do. Yet, in all things, look at this. Yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. Praise God. Conquerors. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Say that with me. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing shall be able to separate us. Can I get amen? No matter what your experience, whatever you're going through, God will always love us. Even if he has to chastise us. Praise God. I've been to the whooping shed. I don't like it there. But I'd rather get a nalgada from him. I'd rather get a spanking from God than to be allowed to be punished by the devil. Can I get amen? Because the devil wants to punish you. He wants to kill you. I'd rather get my spanking and say, okay, yes, Lord. Well, that's right. You see, saints, when triumph in our lives begin and they start to take place, then we become true representatives of the Most High God. And as we're walking in a transformed, triumphant walk, guess what then he calls us? This is where he can entrust you. He can entrust me. And I want God to trust me. Can I get amen? Even with all my faults and failures, say, God, trust me because I love you. It's a love relationship. You love him. And if you love someone that bad, you'll do everything in the world not to hurt them. Can I get amen? Because you love them. And so, Paul wrote this down. Now then, we are ambassadors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an ambassador. Don't forget to turn to the other side and the one behind you and the one in front of you. Now then, we are ambassadors, meaning representatives of the Most High God. He calls us ambassador. Praise God. In other words, wherever we go, we're an ambassador for Christ. When you go to Sprouts, when you go home, when you go visit, when you go to school, when you go to your job, when you, as soon as you walk in and there's other folks in there, remember you're an ambassador for Christ in the midst of unbelievers. And they don't know it. But you do. And when God just gives you that unction to say something about him, he'll open up the door so that you won't have to put your weight on them. He'll open up a crack and then you let Jesus in. Give them a reason to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. And then he says this, as we live the triumphant life. He says this, look at this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are holy unto God, his own special people. You are special to God, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you and I out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people. You remember back in the day, we weren't a people. Come on. Just go back to your BC years. That's who you were. We were not a people at one time. Praise God. Who once were not a people, but are now. Say that with me. Are now the people of God. who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God had mercy on us. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, Jesus. And so we are to live a triumphant life. Just like right in here, Paul wrote this. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Triumph. God leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Look at that. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And Sister Carla walked into that living room. There was a fragrance. There was the power of God there. Those two are sanctified, set apart. At the age of 84, 85, the anointing of God is still upon them. Hallelujah. That's where you will experience the living water. Right there. Through them. It's incredible. But that's what God wants to do with you. And you, and you, and you. No differently. They're just people like us. And when you get a hold of this, and you say, oh God, use me in mighty ways, he will use you like no other. Praise God. And what is that fragrance when you walk into an unbelieving life? When you walk into a place where they're unbelievers, you walk in with the fragrance of God. That means the anointing of God. Look at this. Who once were not a people and now the people of God. But I want you to look at this right here in verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You know what that means? There's people God's calling to be saved. We don't know who they are. But there's also people that will not be saved and they're perishing. And we can't judge them. We don't know who they are. If you would have known me before I turned 30 and you were saved, you would have said, that person is going to drop in the lake of fire. Huh? No one knew I was going to get saved. My living brothers and sisters, they were doing this. But I know him. Yeah. And so did Nazareth. They knew Christ. But they didn't believe, huh? Look at this. Look at this. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. You know what that means? When you walk into a room and the anointing of God is in there, people are going to do one of two things. They're going to glean off you and say, you know what? I want what you have. Or they're going to reject you and curse you. And they will end up dying in their sin. That's what that means. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. So we don't know who God's saving, but we are to live the life of Christ before them all. Can I get amen? And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In other words, we tell the truth. Can I get amen? We live the life of an ambassador before this dying world. We don't know who's going to get saved. You can't judge them. All we can be is a light before them. And so saints, our triumphant life will cause those who are being saved to come to God, to Jesus, by the preaching of the gospel and the testimony of our faith in Christ. And after you and I go through rigorous trials, the transformation of God sanctifying us and setting us apart from the world, we become triumphant in Christ and wait the eternal rewards that will be given to us by faith. How many can't wait for the eternal rewards? Huh? Hang on. It's not gonna always be like this. It's going to be a quick suddenly, and then we're out of here. Can I get amen? It's going to be a suddenly. Look at this. He wrote to the Thessalonian church, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who had already passed, lest you sorrows other have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, right? For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Look at this. For the Lord himself, Jesus himself, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Pray for one another. Come alongside when someone's suffering. Come alongside when someone's hurting. Pray for them. You know, it's so easy to hate someone. It's so easy to cut someone out of your life who sometimes has been a blessing to you. God said, reconcile. Bridge those things. Don't let there be any animosity, any hate, any discourse, any ill will. Because people do hurt. They hurt. They hurt us, and we hurt them. We do that. But there has to be a time where you come together and reconcile and say, forgive me. I'd rather be your friend than your enemy. Can I get amen in the house? Why? Because we're going to be with him for 1,000 years. How many of you can't wait for the millennial reign? When Christ changes everything, everything on this earth will no more have wickedness and evil. 1,000 years. I got proof. You always got to have proof. Can't just speak something. Well, where does that say there, preacher? Right up here. Look at this. And I saw thrones that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witnesses to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and not received his mark on their foreheads, on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We are part of the first resurrection. We're going to live with them. And then the ones that lost their heads are the ones that are going to get saved during the tribulation. We're going to be out of here. And then those will get one more chance. And they have to lose their heads. How many would rather go with God gracefully? I'd rather surrender now, Lord, than to kneel down and put your head on the chopping block. And off your head goes. That's what it says here. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. They wanted God. They realized when we left, they should have taken God then. But God will give them one more chance. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But look at this. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So those who died not in Christ, they weren't raised up like us. They live in an eternal state of nothingness until they're awakened again. Look at this. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Us, when we're taken up. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. How many are so thankful that we're going to be part of the first resurrection? Can I get amen? God's going to take us home. Blessed are those who have the part of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Wow. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's us. 1,000 years. How many can't wait? I can't wait to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years on this earth. Guess what? We're going to be in our brand new bodies. There'll be no more diabetes, no more cancer, no more high blood pressure. That's right. No more PPO, HMO. We're going to be changed. And look at this. Paul said to Ben, dare any of you having a matter against another who go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? This is why. If you have an ought with someone, get it right before God, before he comes. Can I get an amen? How many of you can honestly say, and those of you on Facebook and YouTube, can you in your heart of hearts know that there's someone in your life that used to be part of your life, and now they're just a second thought? You don't want nothing to do with them. You better get right with God. God is saying, get right. Get right with God. Because these things matter to him. If we can't get right with one another, I want to be taken in that first resurrection. I don't know about you. So if there's someone in your life that you have an ought with, you don't get along no more, they hurt you, get right with them. Can I get amen? Get right with them, because when he comes back, there's going to be no excuse. You will stand naked before him in the judgment seat of Christ. Wow. And an unbeliever will be cast into the lake of fire. And so there's triumph at the end. We will be with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And so what lies before us is so unbelievable and glorious. We cannot comprehend it right now. Our little pea brains can't comprehend it. Because Paul wrote it best. Excuse me, John, the apostle, wrote it best. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Get your sushi in now. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. My goodness, that's the church. That's us. We are, hallelujah, going to go into the New Jerusalem. How many can't wait for that? Look at this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is what? With men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that moment, saints? Huh? Okay, one person can't wait. Praise God. No, two back there. I can't. Yes. Hallelujah. No, we all can't wait for that moment. Can I get amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and whatever it's on their heart, they could play anything. Hallelujah. But if you're watching right now, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's been dealing with you, maybe of recent days, or maybe it's been several years, and you happen to log on right now, and God's got a hold of your attention, there's hope for you, because there was hope for us. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray for me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity right now. Because God wants to do something so wonderful in your life. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to help you reconcile things in your life. He wants to replenish and restore the things that the enemy has taken from you. wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a new hope. He wants to do something that you cannot do on your own. He wants to give you salvation and a new heart and a new mind. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to wash you in His blood. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you would walk in a brand new life. If that's you, pray this prayer with me by faith. Ask God to come into your life and watch Him do the miraculous in your life by faith. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. The blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.